Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Way Up North podcast is supported by Wooden Banana. Wooden Banana has delivered personalized wooden packaging for photographers since 2014 and has since connected with thousands of photographers from around the world. Their handmade wooden products range from CD and print boxes through to custom USBs, all individually engraved with your branding, giving your client delivery the love it deserves no matter where you are in the world. Wooden Banana has partnered with Way Up North for 3 events in a row, and is offering a 10% discount on all their products using the purchasing code 110. So give them a look at woodenbanana.com or follow their store and Instagram via the hashtag woodenbanana. Welcome to the Way Up North podcast. This podcast is hosted by Swedish wedding photographer Jenny Hamar, and her conversations are with artists who are presenting in Stockholm, Sweden this October at the 3rd edition of Way Up North. Today's hour-long conversation is with New Zealand wedding photographer Danielle Boyne. Danielle's talents are quite vast, but the two that stand out the most are her remarkable artistry and practical business sense. That might sound a bit bland, but when you hear Danielle share her insight into these approaches, it leaves you thinking, yeah, I should be doing that as well. This conversation ranged in topics, with a standout for me being Danielle's ideas of her ideal future and how her dreams of having a family coincide with being an entrepreneur alongside her amazing husband, Dirk. Jenny and Danielle's conversation was insightful in many ways, so whether you're an entrepreneur, an up-and-coming photographer, or simply someone looking for some ideas from someone with a lot of experience in the arts, settle in. Here's their chat from June 2016.
So I'm sitting here, I'm in Vaxholm, Sweden, and I'm pretty sure you are like on the exact other side of the world.
Yeah, you can't get much further.
Seriously?
In New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand, and it's winter here, well, getting there, but that usually consists of a lot of rain.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we're getting into summer season here, you're winter, you're south, mm-hmm. We're north. This is cool.
I'm like a winter girl, so I'm like, how many layers can I put on? How many scarves can I wear at one time? I love it. But unfortunately, with this job, like I'm heading always to summer quite often, so I'm missing out on my winter.
Okay, so you're happy that it's getting cold. I mean, right now you're like snuggled up in like a huge scarf and you look like you're...
Yeah. Yeah, I just need I should have made a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Or something there. I'll probably, if I have tea or coffee at night, I'm like wide awake forever. So,
evening by you, and it's early morning here in Vaxholm.
Yes.
That's awesome. Great.
Yeah.
So, where are you right now? Are you in your house?
I'm in my house. So, we live in Auckland, which is kind of the main city in New Zealand. It's probably the least pretty city of New Zealand as well. Everyone always imagines I like live like I like the Lord of the Rings, but unfortunately, Auckland does not look like that. It's not far to beautiful places. I mean, we've got some great like West Coast beaches and stuff. That's 30 minutes drive from our house, but no mountains in sight from my house.
And is that the dream? I mean, like, your ideal?
Oh, yeah. Funny you mentioned that. My husband and I are just in the process of kind of, you know, weighing up what we want to do in the future and how we imagine our lives. Luckily, I'm in this job where I guess location doesn't define my work. And in this next season, I'm very happy and grateful that my husband's actually going to be coming on full time with me to help and carry this business with me. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. He's been helping me the last season with the amount of travel I've been doing and on wedding days, and it's been incredible. I wasn't sure whether we could be that couple that could work together and be married, but so far so good.
So
we're both alive.
That means so he comes along on your travels and does he shoot as well, or?
Yeah, he does actually. He's actually got a really good eye. He's really naturally talented. But yeah, he's in training mode.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, but he's doing an incredible job. And just like I've done, this is my, I'll be rolling into my sixth year of doing photography. And I did 5 of those solo, hardly ever with second shooters or assistants. I did for a season. And then, yeah, I just got to the stage where it's just like, I don't want to be away from him for 3 nights a week. So he's actually a personal trainer and a CrossFit coach. So he's got flexibility with his job. So at the moment he's working like Mondays through to Thursday afternoons, and then that works out perfect at the moment. But yeah,
because so your weddings are on the weekends, and then you fly
exactly.
out.
Yeah, wow. So
okay, wait. 2 things that struck me.
Yes.
First, this is your 6th wedding season, which makes me want to shoot myself because your work is so incredible. I want to be like, you must have been doing this for like 20 years and just reflect. But so yeah,
so I was 7. Yeah, 27. So.
And then I'm just curious if he's like in training mode with you. Do you like, are you nice to him as like your kind of like called second shooter, or are you like, Derek, get over there?
That could be a question for him. I think I'm pretty tough on him, to be honest. Let's just say I give him constructive feedback.
Yeah, what would you say?
No, but I think I'm like incredibly surprised at how quickly he's got to his level already. And I don't think it's from my teaching skills. I think I'm pretty like, no, stop doing that. You need to change it. Or, but I've been very hands-on with him as well. And, but he's just naturally picked up light really quickly.
Okay.
And he's definitely got his own eye. He knows what I like, but then he also does other things that he enjoys to shoot. But otherwise, yeah, I think I'm encouraging as well to him.
That's good. So at the end of the day, you're like,
I should get him and ask. You might get the more honest answer.
I'll ask him later. I'll just do like a little surprise interview.
Yeah.
That's funny. So what would a normal like work week look like going forward now for you? That means you're kind of at home Monday through Thursday, and then you fly out. Like, tell me like where you're going.
Yeah, really. I mean, now it's actually at the end of our busy season down here in New Zealand. But if I wanted, I probably could still continue shooting here all through winter time as well. Mm-hmm. But we opt to go and travel and work overseas a bit. But and holiday as well. I really would love a holiday right now. So we leave in 5 weeks for 3.5 months of travel. So that's
for just,
exciting.
For just holiday, no work?
No work. I'm working quite a lot.
Yeah, okay.
But we'll slip in little holidays in between. Like before way up north, we're going to Norway and we're just having a ticket tour around there. And, yeah, I'm not there for work reasons, but that's the few months before that is work. But anyway, back to routine of my week. Generally, I mean, I work from home. Yeah, creative spaces in Auckland, there's not many, to be honest. There is a lot of freelance, but rent is surprisingly very expensive here. Okay. To rent for homes. It- Sorry.
Okay.
There's that cough attack I said that.
Everyone has it.
Yeah, and now I have one. Okay. Back from the top. Okay, so rent here in Auckland particularly is very pricey. So at this stage, we just rent a bigger place where I can have my own office.
Okay.
And creative spaces are getting more popular, but yeah, it's quite another big expense.
Yeah.
For business. And I bought a dog 5 years ago to keep me company when I edit at home by myself. So and that's a good situation.
Such a cute furry little thing that I got to meet.
Oh, yeah. Edison. He's like my child.
He's like your baby.
Actually, like, he always goes either to my parents or like a doggy daycare, like overnight stay. They don't like call it a kennel or anything because they have like lounges for them to like sleep on at night rather than like being locked in a cage. But anyway, they're like, oh, like if we pick Eddie up, he like clings on like a baby. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, we carry him in a baby Bjorn, so maybe that might be why.
Pretty much. Try to get him asleep on my chest. No. Yeah, some may say I'm animal crazy, but no, I love dogs.
Oh, and he's so cute.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's my company during the days that I'm editing, my little foot warmer.
And are you super structured then? What, those days when you're editing, do you, are you like a 9 to 5, like sit in the office or?
I'm not a routine person, at all, naturally. Whereas Dirk, my husband, is, so I'm looking forward to him bringing that to my business, a little bit more structure, because I'm a bit all over the place. But when work's got to get done, work's got to get done, so I'll just knuckle down and work away. But I generally get up. I don't sleep in often. I'm usually out of bed 7 a.m. and make my coffee. Mm-hmm. And then I'll always do emails first for the first hour. And then it depends. I mean, when it's free, you know, when you're freelance, you like have to book appointments. You book appointments during the week that you don't want to do on the weekends or can't because you're shooting. So right. I feel like my days do get a bit disrupted by like a hair appointment or a meeting, you know. It's a bit all over the show in that regards. But generally Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is like my editing days. Or that's when I have to turn around a wedding. Like I can do it in a day, but some days other things are come up, or it just depends on the season of work for me. So
you do solely weddings?
I only do weddings, yeah. Like last week I did a campaign for a bridal wear designer, and I do that every now and then, but I really don't have much other time to shoot other commercial jobs or anything like that at this stage. But that might change next year. I'm not too sure. Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, with having Dirk on board a bit more, you know, what frees up with my time and things like that. Because I probably procrastinate a little bit at times. So it will be interesting to see how much more efficient I become.
With the new team.
Yeah, but I mean, I work hard, but I think we all can get distracted easily, especially creative people, artists. Definitely. Our minds wander.
Definitely. I can agree to that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys are a pretty tight team. You live together, travel together, work together.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
We met through our local church. We've known each other for a long time, more acquaintances. And then our friends through church set us up on a double date with them. And okay, I'll do it. And then we actually got along really well. Well, you'd hope, now that we're married.
Obviously,
we get along. Yeah,
but you were reluctant at first. or
what was it? Sorry,
were you reluctant at first?
Oh no, I don't think so. It was interesting. It was for both of us. Like, we both weren't really on each other's radar. I don't know why.
Okay.
And then it just, like, I don't know. Our friends were like, these two would be really well matched, and that we are.
And did you click immediately, like on that first double date?
Yes, I think we did.
Yeah,
totally. Because I went out on another date and then another one. Dirk's, I guess, not anymore, but he was quite shy back then. Like, he's definitely come out of his shell over the last few years, which has been awesome to see. He's a really kind person. And, we just hit it off and, yeah.
And how long ago is that you met?
We met about, from that date would have been, he's going to kill me. I'm like the one that always gets confused on our anniversary, whether it's like the 6th or the 8th of June.
Well, at least it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, our 3-year anniversary. But anyway, so I think it's about 6 years.
6 years ago that you met and 3 years ago that you got married.
Yeah, exactly. 3 years ago, yesterday.
Yesterday. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Where did you get married?
We got married down about 3 to 4 hours south of Auckland in a place called Porinui, which is just outside of a town called Taupo. And it's really beautiful. It's a hunting and a fishing lodge. And it's kind of nestled away from anything, really. There's no phone reception or anything. It's just a huge mountain range.
Okay.
It's really beautiful. And to me, like, because I was part of the wedding industry, I was like determined to find somewhere where I hadn't photographed to get married myself. Because I just didn't want it to like cross over. You know, like, I don't want someone else's memories with my memories.
Right.
I just wanted something fresh and new. And it was a winter wedding, so it was a perfect setting, like, you know, big fires and we had mulled wine and toasted marshmallows over the fire. And yeah, actually, Nordica photographed our wedding, but Jakob came down and photographed it. So
that's awesome.
Kind of my connections to these guys.
And be honest, were you happy with the photo? No, I'm just kidding.
oh gosh. I was just looking through them yesterday and I was like, oh, no, I'm joking. We always make a point of like rewatching our slideshow that we got given around our anniversary. So we haven't done that yet. So maybe we'll do it tonight. But of course, we loved our photos so much. It was such a great experience to be, you know, on the other side of the camera, but then also just like the whole wedding process. I think it really helped me know in my own business what things are good, and I appreciated with what these guys did for us, you know, and I wanted to implement things into my business and go that extra mile for brides. And I mean, I was a pretty relaxed bride, but I know there's so much on their minds at that time. And I think just being a really kind person through that season and someone that's not demanding, and it's a really great thing.
Was that the thing that you, or was there anything else that you were like, okay, I'm definitely not going to do this because I see this all the time and it's.
Do you mean like on the way? Like,
yeah, as a bride.
As a bride. I think it was more like I just want it to be such a reflection of us rather than like these do's and don'ts. And I mean, we had a smaller wedding of like 55 to 60 people. And I think I just wanted it to feel like another family dinner. Like, we both come from quite small families and Dirk only had his mum and brother there. So everyone that was there were our nearest and dearest. And I just wanted it to feel like a safe place and, you know, a really beautiful time, an intimate time with the ones that we love. So that was a big factor for me. And also like just little things like allowing time and just the space to breathe and relax and not ever feel rushed.
Yeah that's I can identify with that. You had written on your website that you love weddings and marriage, is that right? Or is it just the marriage part? I don't know, obviously you love weddings.
Yeah, you're serving a wedding photographer. No, I love marriage. I just think it's such an amazing bond you can have with someone, and that you can be there to watch each other grow and become better people. And I think that's the awesome thing, is that when you're living so closely with someone in marriage, you want to become and help one another to, you know, become better people, and you both can, like, what's the word? Just kind of take on the qualities of them. Like, my husband is such a patient and kind person to everyone, and I think I'm a kind person as well, but I probably lack on the patient side sometimes. But just, you know, like, over time, I could, you know, you can see that. Just being around Tim has made me become more patient with people and just more understanding and things like that.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and I do love weddings.
What is it that you love about it? How do you think you got into just weddings?
I think it was like, it's the inevitable, like someone asked you to photograph a wedding. Yeah. I never thought I would. And then from there, I did one. For an older couple getting married for a second time, and it was just their family, and they're so beautiful. This couple, like, she still, like, writes on my, like, Facebook page or Instagram, like, she's, like, so proud of me and how far I've come, and it's really, really sweet. But, I mean, the reason why I love weddings is because I love people and I love connection, and I think for me, photographing weddings is just as much about that as it is the art side. And I think that's something that I've tried to, I guess, incorporate in my business, is the relationship with my couples, and then also valuing their relationships, mm-hmm. and how, you know, with that and putting art with that, how you can create really compelling images.
Which,
and so, yeah.
They are. They're so friggin' amazing. I, like, blown away by your work. It's so, I mean, like, someone just punches you in the gut, but in the good way. Like, oh my God, how is that possible? All right, well, we'll get back to that. But I want to backtrack to just how you got started into photography. Because I also read something that your grandfather had, like, seen kind of a creative spark in you, giving you a camera. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because I feel like this is like the most cliche way that, you know, my grandfather gave me his old camera.
Yeah, well.
Well, unfortunately for me, that was the case.
It's beautiful imagery, though. I mean, okay, let's focus on instead the fact that he sent you money for the developing. Yeah, that's so, actually.
Yeah, every birthday, that we'll put a spin on it, right? That's slightly different. He actually never gave me his old camera. He gave me a new one.
Yeah, that's good.
And then he used to send me film for every birthday with, like, a $10 note slush it into the canister for me to get it developed. So it was really sweet. And, yeah, it's a shame he passed away before I actually, like, became a photographer or studied photography. But I definitely, you know, it's so special that he saw something within me for that. He would, like, it was one birthday, though. I remember he, like, gave me, like, this huge, thick book. Sorry, I feel like that sentence was just like Kiwi accent through and through, like thick book.
Yeah,
it was. Anyway.
And by the way, I'm going to be trying to speak in your accent when we hang up. I'll be like, it's awesome.
Anyway, so it gave me a really thick book, and it was like small, because I love animals as well. It's like this small surgery, like veterinary surgery for animals, and it was just like, this, like, university textbook. He gave me that and then the camera, and that's when I decided, oh, I don't think I could be a vet. I'm not that diligent with reading and studying. So I took the photography route.
Oh, and thank God you did.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
It turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
So when you were small, he was living far away from you then, if he was sending you things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So my family, we're originally from Australia, but I do call myself a Kiwi, but then I travel on an Australian passport still. So
okay.
I guess it depends which way, you know, how things are going between the Kiwi and the Australian rivalry.
who's on the winning side? When were you born? You said you're 27?
Yeah, so I was born in 1989, okay. So I'm not a 90s kid.
You are an 80s kid in Australia.
I guess I am a 90s kid, but baby, 80s baby.
80s baby. And what, you were born into a family of, like, did you have siblings or?
So I have one sister. So there's just the two of us. And I was born in a small town called Townsville, which is, like, northern Queensland, and it's so, like, I don't even know. It's just so Queensland. That's what we would just say. Like,
what does that mean?
It's a bit bogan. Like, do you know what bogan means?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't even know. Kiwis and Australians have such, like, weird lingo.
Yeah, but I'd love to learn. What, bogan?
Yeah, bogan.
Like rural, you mean like country, yeah, bumpkin?
Rural. Yeah, just small town thinking. Right out of that. But my parents were raised in Brisbane and then they moved up to Townsville. And then we ended up moving down to Sydney when I was still a baby. Okay. So, and then we were there until I was seven. And then we came across from my parents' work. So I did most of my schooling in New Zealand.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And then you decided early on that you wanted to do photography.
Yeah, I always knew, like, I didn't, like, apart from that time when I was either the vet or the photographer. The school I went to was quite a creative school for, compared to quite a lot of others in the area. And they started, like, photography the year, like, beneath most other schooling, so we could do it as a topic or as a subject, would say, for 3 years instead of just 2 years. So, okay. Yeah, I would always miss Spanish class and go to the dark room.
So you actually did start in the dark room. You're not too young for
dark room. Yeah, I didn't do digital, actually. I was just shooting on like 35mm at that point. And then straight after high school, I took a year off and I just worked temp work. So I was just with an agency and I just filled in and I just wanted to earn some money at that age to like have a holiday or something, spend it. I'm actually really thankful for that year of my life because it taught me that I didn't want to be in an office job. I did not like it. I was just like, it's so boring.
That's not
even though
everyone.
I spend a lot of time in the office now, but at least it's still something I enjoy and, you know, love. So, and then I actually studied photography at a uni and I just did like a diploma. So that's only 2 years.
Okay.
But there I was doing like medium format and large format work, which is fun. I would still get flustered. Like I haven't even touched film much. Well, I can't even say I've touched film since I've really been doing weddings, but I'm always saying I'd like to do it again. But
but now you work obviously digitally, but only a small format on your wedding.
What was that, sorry?
You're using like small format cameras when you're doing the weddings.
Yeah, like I don't even do any film at weddings.
No.
So, no, yeah, so it's just, you know, standard.
So what kind of like, I mean, I can imagine that your business has grown from photographing friends, obviously, that are asking you and then just local whatever to now traveling all over the world. I mean, what kind of clients do you have now? What are, like, who are you shooting?
It's interesting. I have like quite two like really specific clients, I feel. But they're definitely people that value photography it's usually people either I shoot a lot of lawyers' weddings for some reason, like lawyer in New Zealand. I just feel like everyone's a lawyer or a doctor, like that I photograph. If they're not that, they're in the creative industry.
Okay.
As well. So yeah.
What about do you get to show all of the work that you photograph?
Am I allowed to?
Like a lot of people, once they get, you know, sort of big, it's like you can't show most of the work that you do, or
it's not that case for me. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple that I can't, but yeah. Generally, especially down here, people are really laid back. Like, I don't even think they read my contract when they sign it. Pretty sure they don't.
Even the lawyers?
What was it? Sorry?
Even the lawyers? They don't
read my contract? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I just don't feel like I hardly ever have to, like, amend anything or, I mean, the lawyers probably do read them, but, they're relaxed. We'd say they're chilled. That's what we'd say.
That's awesome. So have you ever done any celebrity work? I mean, weddings?
No. Not yet.
How does one get into that industry? I mean, do you have
I feel like if you're in the States, like America, that's probably where they live mostly. I mean, I've done B-grade celebrities in New Zealand. This sounds like really negative, but you know what I mean. Like people know in New Zealand, I've done a few.
Yeah.
But it's pretty being in New Zealand can be limiting to some degree because it's very far away. I mean, internet and social media has changed that to a degree, but still, you know, it's 30 hours away from Europe and 20 hours away from the US. So
that's insane.
Yeah, it's a long way to travel. But I mean, like I was saying, like for us, the reason why we're going for 3.5 months in July is because I have weddings over there and I don't want to come back in between. So we're just hanging up in the Northern Hemisphere.
Nice.
Yeah. So
you're very welcome.
So I'm not quite sure how people break into that celebrity wedding market. Yeah. I don't know if it's a very desirable thing or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No.
So it's like who knows? I think it could be quite it's interesting with that. It also reminds me of work sometimes that people see on your website or think I wish I photographed that wedding. Like people have no idea the experience you may have gone through.
Yeah.
Even though it might look beautiful or, you know, you've got these amazing moments. Like sometimes they can be one of the hardest days that you've had to photograph and
definitely.
Yeah. So it's not always as it seems.
That's
and maybe celebrity weddings fall in that category. I don't know. But I can imagine there are some very magical moments and weddings out there as well.
Well, you seem to capture – I mean, looking at your website, it's like – it seems like you just nail it when it comes to getting that first of all, total connection with bride and groom between each other, and then add the lighting, add the, you know, the environment, the location. I mean, it's like you have everything just stars align. I mean, how does that even happen? It's just usually you have two out of three.
I don't know. It's a funny thing because at the moment I feel it's not the case. Sometimes you just go through seasons where you feel differently about your own work, and especially the longer you do it, that's why you have to reinvent yourself and your work continually, because you get really complacent in what you're doing and you're I just don't even like it, but you know your couples will. But anyway, I do put a lot of time into scouting for a wedding, okay. Things like that. I do prioritize those things, and I'm pretty fussy. I'm quite a fussy person, bit of a perfectionist. So I'll always make sure the light is good where I'm going. I just won't get if a couple says to me, "Oh, we really, really want to shoot at this location, I'll be like, I'll only shoot there if I think that the light's good. Like, it could be a possibility, but I just don't ever want to get, you know, like put in that box where I'm just like, this location sucks. And I know I can't make amazing photos. And I'm pretty hands-on in terms of with my couples, like in planning of their times and things like that, to make sure that I'm getting it out at the time that I want to be shooting. New Zealand light is like really harsh. I always say, if anyone wants to learn light, come and shoot some weddings in New Zealand, and you're like, there's no dreamy Californian light down here, I can tell you that.
Well, you can't tell from your photos. I mean, they all look like they're just like bathing in sunset warm. Yeah. I mean,
we do have good sunsets in summer here. Like, our light is strong and like orange and bright when it does set. But that's why, like, because I've put a lot of that out on my social media and Instagram, like, that my couples are coming to me wanting that, which is a good thing because I'm getting to shoot at that time. But then I also make sure I'm putting other work in there, because like quite often they get a cloudy day and they can't have that. So,
right.
Yeah.
So they come to you wanting that, which gives you more power to say like, okay, if you want this, we need to
do it this way. You can't have it. Yeah. You can't have it if you're not giving it to me. with them, like, you're giving me 2 p.m., you're not going to get golden light. Like, you're not going to get nice light at 2 p.m. unless it's cloudy. Like, right.
You have to make them understand.
Yeah.
And how much time would you say you spend scouting then, if that's a big part of it?
Like this, I mean, generally I fly in on, like, if it's just like a New Zealand wedding, I fly in on Friday morning, and then I'll like have the afternoon just to scout. But like Dirk and I, and even when Dirk wasn't doing that part with me, we love driving around nature. Like, for us, that's a hobby and that's what relaxes us. So we really enjoy scouting and finding spots, and I mean, it can be frustrating when you can't find much, but it is what it is, you know. You're not a magician.
So do you have like a million shots of Dirk in beautiful locations?
Yep. So good. Like, oh, he's so patient with me like that. But now he's like, you go stand there. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. So now we take turns.
That's awesome. And then you scout Friday, shoot Saturday, travel home Sunday.
Yeah. Usually home by Sunday night, which can, you know, that's the exhausting part of, you know, travel. Yeah. It's just like, all right, it's a day of rest that most people get. It's really hard through a summer and busy season then to take like a Monday off to when you've left your emails for 3 days. You know, like, I've got to get onto my admin. To actually, like, that's my goal for this next year, is to make sure like I have a day of rest to like recover and just like refuel, because I think it's really important for humans to relax, and we will all be much nicer people if everyone did that.
Yeah, I think so. So Monday will be your day off.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you and Dirk had met at church.
Yes.
Would you say, are you like a religious person? Or?
Yeah, I would like, I would say I'm a Christian.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I've been brought up a Christian like my whole life. My parents are actually pastors at a church, and that's kind of how we ended up in New Zealand. So I've been like involved within our church community for a long time. I mean, it's been a bit tricky lately because I've been traveling so much, and you know, Sunday rolls around, which is the day you go to church generally.
Yeah.
I wish we had, like, in the States, they have, like, Wednesday night church, but we don't have that yet. Okay. Anyway, so it's been a bit tough getting to church and stuff like that, because we do love going, and it's our community of friends, and I've grown up with these people. So, yeah, I've been, you know, friends with some of my closest best friends since I've been 10. And, you know, we've done like 17 years of life together.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so it's really special.
And what do you think? Obviously, you don't know anything different, but growing up with two parents who are pastors,
yes.
How do you think that's how it has influenced your life?
I think a couple of things I will mention is like I think I've been part of quite a, like the church I've been part of has been quite a large church, so it's like a couple of thousand of people that go to the church, and it's been an amazing like people skill development for me, like especially like being able to talk to people at all different ages. And I think that's really helped within my work. You know, like you're always meeting new people every week and being able to, you know, be comfortable around them and then feel at ease around you. And I think that's been like something that's probably added to what I do and it's really helped. Yeah. And also, I mean, I've had like a really blessed upbringing as well. Like I feel like I haven't really had too much struggles or, I mean, we all have struggles and we all have things to deal with in life. But I've had a really great upbringing and a great childhood, and I feel, lucky that I've had that. And yeah.
What do you think would be difficult about growing up in that environment?
I feel like for some people it would be that whole sheltered, you know, they haven't been exposed to other things or, you know, like what else is in the world or, you know, like other cultures or religions and things like that. But my parents weren't, they're really like open people and accepting of every type of person, you know, like,
yeah.
And I feel like that could be something for some Christians or, you know, like if you're growing up in the church that you can't hang out with people that aren't, you know, like I definitely have never had that in my life.
Heathens.
So, yeah. Heathens, you're heathens. So, yeah, I think that could be something, but it's definitely something that I haven't had. Like I went to a state school, and you know, I've got amazing connections with people, all different sorts of that. Yeah.
So I have to ask. This is like a totally random personal question, yeah. But it just popped up in my head when I think of like someone who's brought up that way. Do you believe in sex before marriage?
What do you mean? Do I believe?
Like do you think should one have sex before marriage?
Okay, great question. I think it's someone else's decision. My husband and I waited till we were married, and that was our decision.
Yeah.
But a lot of you know, like there are friends that probably haven't, and that's their decision. Yeah. I'm like the least judgmental on things like that.
You seem super chill, and I didn't think that you would be judgmental, but now I'm curious. I'm like amazed by that kind of, I don't know, discipline, I guess,
you have to be. You have to be disciplined. But then again, we were only dating like 2.5 years, so.
Yeah.
I mean, but still, I know that's probably like eternity for some people.
Well, I guess, yeah, people with those beliefs probably do get married much quicker.
yeah. Exactly. I mean, like, I've photographed many Christian weddings as well, and like, I've photographed a few like 18-year-olds.
Okay. Who leave the party at like 8 a.m. or 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. So.
That's awesome. All right. Well, to switch gears a little bit, I wrote down a couple words that were like basically from, I think, the first sentence of your about statement, which I think says a lot about people. And you mentioned like dinner with family and friends, produce, coffee, future plans. Those are like the four things that I was like, okay, those are all interesting. And tell me about produce.
Produce, like homegrown.
Homegrown. I think like vegetarian when I hear produce, but that maybe that's the
I mean, we would say that's just like more just like local food.
Okay.
Local food.
Are you like a foodie
We're foodies through and through.
Like, oh, you are?
Oh my God. I'm such a foodie. Like, I try, like when people are like, what's your hobby? I'm like, can I say like going out for brunch? Like,
yeah.
Because that's what we love to do. Like, we're such like coffee and food people. And like the New Zealand culture is very cafe orientated. Like when we meet up with friends, we don't meet in the park. We meet at a cafe. Like, okay. And we have coffee. That's what you do.
Okay.
So I've grown up like that. And my parents, like every Saturday morning was going out for coffee all together as a family.
Okay.
And we still do it when I have like, I don't have a wedding this weekend, and I know my mum or my dad will text me tomorrow night and just be like, coffee in the morning? Nice. Yeah, so.
So what's
but anyway.
What's the perfect coffee?
Oh, well, we have long blacks with cream.
Okay.
Like full cream. Yeah. So not half and half or normal milk, like cream. Just that's really great. That's what we do. But then there's like, obviously, like in summertime, like a cold drip is great.
What's that?
It's just like, it's like cold coffee, but it's been like, it drips. So it's like a slow drip.
So you do like through a filter.
And it like goes through like a filter, like a Chemex or a filter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, anyone that's listening to this, probably like, what is she on about? Like, they've probably got far more technical knowledge, but yeah.
No.
Cold brew. What is it? Just the brewed coffee that's cold. Yeah.
I get it. I have to try that because I
get really like flustered in summertime. So I can't drink like hot coffee in summer, but I need one coffee a day. And so in summertime, I'll have a cold brew.
It'll be interesting to see. Have you been to Sweden before?
Yeah, we've been to Stockholm. It will be exactly like 2 years from when we're there next.
Okay. So you know that coffee's huge here.
Yeah.
People drink a lot of coffee. I think per capita, most in the entire world, I believe, the Swedes.
Oh, yeah. I would think Kiwis will challenge you on that. We need like,
we'll see. Let's have a duel when you come over.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah.
And what about the foodie part? I mean, what's your perfect like meal? I mean, describe it.
I don't know. Vietnamese is like so up there for me. Vietnamese food, you know?
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's just so fresh. I like love Asian food. It's my number one. But I do love a good brunch. But if it can be like Asian inspired, which there are places, I've got a place just down the road that's like a brunch place, but they do it in like Vietnamese style.
And what's a typical brunch in New Zealand?
We have a thing like really cute. It's like a big breakfast, which is like bacon, eggs, sausages, grilled tomatoes, mushrooms, baked beans. But I don't have that. Only boys have that. They're really big. And then we've got like Eggs Benedict. Do you guys have that?
It's not big here. Yeah, we have it, but it's...
Yeah, so it's got the hollandaise sauce over it, but it's really rich, so I don't really like that. It's a bit too like intense for me. But I always change, but savory foods.
What is that? Savory.
I don't like sweet for breakfast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't like pancakes. I mean, I like pancakes, but I'd have pancakes for dessert.
Right.
Rather than breakfast.
And do you guys cook as well, or do you just go out and eat all the time?
No, we cook. Like, it's still not really cheap to eat out here, not like the States or anything. Like, so cooking, you usually cook during the week. But that's been like I was just saying to Jack last night, like, I'm like, I have become a really bad cook, but I actually really love cooking, and like I'm naturally okay at it. I don't struggle in the kitchen, but like lately I've been terrible. But I think it's just like I don't have the mind space at the moment to like be creative.
Yeah.
And I'm not a baker because it's so like precise.
Okay.
But I like cooking because you can just throw things in.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, generally like we eat all sorts.
Are there, I have in my head a vision that like Australia, New Zealand is still quite traditional when it comes to like I mean, men and women, and compared to Sweden, which is more egalitarian, oh, yeah, or whatever you say. Is it like, is there any of that, would you say, in your marriage? Like, you're supposed to cook or not? I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
No, exactly. Dirk and I are very much like, we do it together, but when I say that, I cook, but he always does the dishes. Like, it's one or the other. So if you cook, the other does the dishes.
Okay.
So it's like even.
Is that the case in everything?
Yeah, we do. We all just like, when it comes to cleaning the house, I'm not cleaning the house. Like, to be honest, I think Dirk probably cleans more than me.
Yeah.
I can see that he cleans more than me.
Yeah.
But I will, like, I'm always in charge of the bathroom and he vacuums. Like, I'm not allowed to vacuum. It's his job.
Okay. That's kind of typical. I mean, even here, I just feel like anything that involves, you know, like cords and machinery is like, more fun that way. Yeah. So,
maybe I'm like, oh, I just want to get a cleaner. It's not that hard, but sometimes I'm like, I can't even think about that. If I just had a cleaner, that would be great.
If you think about what you charge per hour and then take that those hours you clean out of your time, I bet.
Exactly. Outsource your weaknesses, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the studio.
Oh, thank you.
A word from our sponsor. They can insert some cool commercial there about Way Up North.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to ask you about the editing, because you said you could like turn a wedding around in about a week, but it seems like looking at your website and looking at your images, like it seems like you put a lot of love and care into. I mean, these are not like some JPEG straight out of camera you're presenting.
No. Editing's like a huge, like, there's something that's really important to me, is my editing and the consistency that comes with that, which is what I'll be talking about a little bit, about the consistency at Way Up North. But anyway, with the editing, yes, I do spend a lot of time on it. And weddings just take me so long when I first started. But I can edit a wedding in about 8 hours or 6 hours. 6 hours, probably. Yeah, but I mean, don't ask me why I'm 7 weeks behind. No, there's a lot more that, you know, comes with business, especially when you're traveling.
So I guess, okay, we won't go too far into that since you're going to be talking about that at Way Up North.
No, that's fine. No, we can talk a little bit about it, but that is just one tiny topic of the overall consistency topic.
So where do you think your style comes from?
I'm definitely... I mean, I think it's like a real mixture between lighting and also then the post-production. Like, I edit the way I do because of the way that I shoot with light as well. And, I mean, I'm definitely inspired by paintings in terms of tonal range. I don't like anything vivid and bright. Like, you'll notice in my work that a lot of the green and blues are always, like, pulled down. There's this artist called Graham Sidney, who is a New Zealand painter, and look him up after our chat, and he paints New Zealand landscapes, and I get told often that my work looks similar to his, and like his is a painting, but mine is a photograph, but we've just got a similar tonal range to work with. And then also there's like the Dutch still life kind of side lit and the way they painted those as well. Like, definitely I feel influenced by those, and that's what I visually enjoy. Like, if you give me any preset and I'll manipulate it and they all end up looking pretty much the same because I love my work to look a certain way.
I feel like I could definitely see what you're saying about the Dutch still lives, like super like rich and then like kind of those musty. No, that's not an English word.
Yeah, no, I know the colors you mean though. Like, they're really like burnt and like open colors. And yeah, I guess like to a degree, like it's the landscape I get to shoot in as well. that can influence, but even in like skin tones and things like that.
So what do you do when you find yourself like you're in the Caribbean and it's just like, you know, bright blues and, you know, like all the colors are super.
I know, that's why I like avoid shooting at beaches. I just like beaches. Like we're not beach people. We're like mountain, give me a mountain over a beach any day. I mean, I go to like the Cook Islands or Fiji or Samoa every now and then. And it's just like, I find that really difficult, to be honest, because I'm just like, it's not my style. Like, yeah. But I mean, I'll shoot when the sun's rich and warm at the beach. So it will override the blueness. but yeah.
Have you ever said no to a wedding because of like where you were free, but. And it could be for any reason. It doesn't have to be the location, but where you were
Yes, I will say yes. And we've got New Zealand's full of incredible beaches. Like we've got an area called Coromandel, which is just like coastal beach the whole way. It's amazing. But I just don't often work there because I don't like it.
Okay.
I struggle with beach. Like it's just like I don't visually enjoy it terribly much, so I'm not – it's not an enjoyable process for me, and I don't really like sand, and I just like it's usually hot, so I'm like,
yeah,
I'm on struggle street if I'm on a beach wedding. So yeah, but hey, I'll still go to like the Seychelles if someone asks me.
Twist my arm.
Yeah, I'll shoot amongst the stone, like the rocks, or yeah, I'll tend to go there if I'm at a beach. I'll shoot against the rocks rather than the sea.
Okay. And so your ideal place is mountains, is what I gather, or?
Well, yeah, not just to shoot. I actually really love urban as well in terms of for weddings and things like that. I wish I wasn't living so far away from Europe because that is just, like, beautiful cities. Mm-hmm. Whereas Auckland City is really, really not that pretty. We just don't have – we're a young country, so we don't have, like, heritage building.
Right.
Buildings around, yeah. So it's tricky to make Auckland City look good. But, I mean, I've scouted it plenty enough times to find little nooks around the place.
You have your little secret hiding places.
Yeah. Yeah, but Dirk and I do want to live in the mountains at some stage.
So this is kind of like, it sounds like a job interview question, so excuse that. But where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Living in the mountains.
Living in the mountains.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, or?
In a house, yeah, in New Zealand. Like, Dirk's actually not from New Zealand. He's from South Africa. So he grew up in Cape Town, which is a beautiful city. If you haven't been, it's like an incredibly beautiful city. But, we feel very connected to New Zealand. And I know there's millions of people over the world who would, you know, kill to live here as well, because it's incredibly beautiful, and we have a great way of life down here, and it's home. So yeah, we're just deciding where home will be in New Zealand.
So in 10 years you're in the mountains somewhere in a house.
In a house that we've built, yeah, with kids hopefully.
With kids? Oh my god, how's that going to work with the travel schedule?
No more than two.
You know all too well that
I'll let my sister deal with the four children.
Oh my goodness.
As she has.
That's crazy. I mean, four kids. I can't even imagine. What do you think, how do you think that's going to change? I mean, your work would change radically if you have two kids, say.
I mean, and that's what we just really, we feel like we're just in this year's been like a really uprooting year for us, because we're just like, what are we doing? Where should we go? How do we want our life to pan out? And like, I know there's things that you just can't control and you just have to roll with it, but there's a level of planning and decisions that we need to make. But I don't imagine being a stay-at-home mum for a couple of months. Like, I always imagine working with children. I grew up with a mum that worked full time, and I think I've turned out all right. And I think I love what I do, and it's not a job. It's more than it's our life. And I mean, my job's not my life, but like it's a lifestyle that we've chosen to live. And we love to travel, and that's the great thing with this job is that you can travel with it. But yeah, we have just decided that we really want to, if we're traveling more or if we're not even, we want to come home to a haven. And we're just deciding at the moment where that haven is. But it will be in New Zealand and highly possibly in the mountains.
So, and by haven, do you, I picture like a secluded cabin, but maybe that's not the case at all. You just...
No, pretty much.
Pretty much, okay.
Which is interesting because I've grown up, I'm a city girl. I've grown up in town. So, yeah, that's going to be really different if that's something that we do. But I don't want to be in isolation, but a smaller community within New Zealand seems quite appealing to us at the moment.
So it sounds amazing. And I mean, I'm sure with your eye, it's going to be beautiful, whatever you do. Mm-hmm. But as like a mother of three, I'm curious about that, making that work, which I think you will definitely.
Yes.
Do you think you would like to bring the kids for your travels? Because that will probably always be a part of your.
To me, yeah, like we want our kids to experience the things that we experience, and ideally, I want to be making enough money from this job where I can pay someone to come with us and help. Because like if I'm at a wedding day, like who's going to look after the children? Like if Dirk's doing it with me as well. So we'd probably ideally want like an au pair or a nanny with us. But I mean, it's not in the like near future. I don't know yet. Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things that probably we'll have to figure out when we get there. Yeah. But it's definitely on my mind on how to do this with the family.
I know that.
You know, I know you have to sacrifice to a degree with children. Like, it's the biggest part of becoming selfless is when you have children. Priorities change, but I think there is a way of doing it.
I'm sure there is. I mean, people do it, and I think...
Yeah.
But do you feel like as a woman in this industry that it's something that preoccupies your mind more than maybe... Our like male counterparts. Yeah,
definitely. It's very interesting. I mean, yeah, it's just like something that's I've been thinking a lot about lately. Because, yeah, you know, you do see a lot of women who, you know, they're being wedding photographers or just photographers in general, and then they have children, and then their like business like plummets off to a degree. And I understand why that happens, but I don't want that to happen with mine because I'm a quite a driven person. But yeah, I don't know.
I think there's so many people struggling with what you're talking about now that why I think it's interesting to bring up because.
Yeah, and I want to be one of those people where it does work, yeah. And where my business thrives and doesn't suffer when I go through the season of having children. And I understand that it changes completely. Your life changes when you have children. And there will be a season where all I can do is be a mum. But I think, well, I already juggle so many hats as a business owner, so why not just put another hat on top of the head and try it that way? People with kids are probably shaking their head at me right now. But what I am looking forward to is Carmen and Ingo are speaking about how to do business with family. So I'm very much looking forward to their talk at Wet North about that.
So is that what you mean in the future then?
No, like, do you know Carmen and Ingo, who are the
lesbian?
Yeah, they're doing their topics on, I'm pretty sure, business with families, like how to run a business with family.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to seeing to hearing what they say about that and how they're approaching it, because I know they take their daughter with them when they do weddings. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. I mean,
yeah, I bet you are.
How the hell do they do it?
No, yeah.
Oh, it sounds good. Like you have like a really good, I mean, I don't know, exciting time ahead of you, like in the prime of your career, future plans of like where you want to make your haven.
Yeah.
Your life just seems so awesome right now. I mean, is that?
Do you know what? I feel like this is the hardest, like I feel like I'm in a really hard season to a degree because of the decisions we need to make and things like that. It's like I was saying, like we feel quite uprooted and unsettled, but we know that it's because, you know, like we're planning and we want to do a good job and enjoy our life, and we're just weighing up what that is. And I think that's amazing that we can do that and that we're not restricted to a location for our life, and we want our children to grow up in nature and things like that. So it's an exciting time, but a daunting one at the same time.
So there's a bit of worry right now in terms of like what do we do? What do we, I mean,
yeah, I'll be honest and say definitely. Yeah. I'm worried. I naturally am worry like at times. But yeah, I know it will work out.
What kind of, what makes you most worried? Like making the wrong decision or what?
I think so. Just like, and it's funny, it's a thing that I always like tell myself or tell others is like, I guess I'm worried that things won't work out or like will fail. And like, I think every human being is scared of failing and making wrong decisions. But like I always say, like, actually my pastor has this book called oh my gosh, what's it called? But anyway, it talks about freedom and failure. Like, you know, like so much good things can come from when things don't work out the way you think. So I need to learn to like just let go and just like roll with it. And I'm sure it will work out. But yeah, we're really excited too.
Would you say you're a bit of a control freak?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask it. Would Burke say you're a control freak?
Control things. But I'm a, yeah. Yes.
So yes.
So yes, but I'm learning to let go of things, and it's that perfectionist side of me as well. And I think a lot of artists and creative people are perfectionists, and I mean it's learning how to use that for the good and when to apply it within your business or within your life and when not. But I mean, like, I use the perfectionist side of me with my editing and things, and I think that's what pays off.
Right.
But and the whole controlling thing is like learning to outsource what you're not actually good at, or yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to with Dirk coming more on board, you know, is that I have to let go of stuff, and I know it's going to do the world of good as well.
It's going to give you, yeah, free up time for you to focus on your editing, on your prep work, on your that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and shooting other things, and yeah, because I just haven't really had that much time to like create for the sake of creating. Like I shoot landscape stuff every now and then, or like if I'm traveling I get my camera out, but generally I haven't had the time, and I haven't prioritized the time to create beyond my work. And yeah, that's what you hear getting shoved down your throat all the time, is like, you need to create outside of wedding photography to become better and things like that. But, yeah.
What kind of stuff makes you better? You mentioned earlier that you, like, want to, you know, grow and build your kind of imagery and stuff. What kind of things do you turn to, like, to get better, to improve?
For inspiration. All sorts. I guess I look like for instance, like Pinterest and things like that. Like I just look at like interior design and things outside of photography in general, in nature, is so inspiring to me. New places, like, I feel like I always photograph my best in a new scene. Because you see it differently. It's so hard. We've got this one wedding venue here in New Zealand called Mudbrook, and it's beautiful, but I've done so many weddings there, and I have to limit it to one a year now because I just, like, I think they refer me, so I just get a huge amount of inquiries through it. And, like, that's the hardest thing, is to, like, reinvent something that, you know, that's you've been to a lot and see it through a new way. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's a difficult one. But so I'm definitely inspired by new settings and things like that. But then also, like I was saying earlier, like painting and things like that. And then also there's this photographer called William Klein. Do you know him?
No.
He's like a documentary photographer. But I look to him for, like, compositional stuff. Uh-huh. And things like that. I just love the way he layers his image. He always has, like, two, you know, like something right in the foreground, and then he shoots through that to the subject that's in focus behind, more in, like, the midground or background. He's, like, really, really inspiring to me in terms of photography.
So will you go through a shoot and say, like, okay, this time I'm going to try this. I'm going to shoot through something in the foreground, or have that in the back of your head?
It's, you know what, it's really funny. Like, I naturally do that throughout every part of the day except for the portrait time. Like, I find it much easier because there's other people around to, like, frame up like that and phone through. But then when you, like, put someone in, like, a field or a vast space, it's harder to, like, create that. So I'm just, like, thinking, I was just thinking today as well, like, how can I think differently when it comes to portraits? I mean, like, at the end of the day, the connection thing's, like, my priority as well, in that connection in the light. But now, for me, I'm at that stage where I really want to work on the composition again and really push myself in that area.
Cool.
Well,
your work is stunning, and I mean, I'm so looking forward to hearing about more of the work stuff, but at Way Up North. But I mean, getting to know you a little bit as a person has been so nice. Oh,
so lovely talking to you.
Yeah, really, I feel like we need to get together.
Are you coming?
Of course.
Will you be there?
Yeah.
Yay! All right,
yeah.
Let's have coffee.
Definitely. Oh my God, you're so sweet, and obviously people listening can't see you, but you have, like, sparkling brown eyes. It looks like dark hair, curly. Yeah. You look like you seem like you're a really great friend, and just all around super sweet.
Thank you. You're so kind.
I wish you all the best for your future planning, and I hope that you feel like you get some answers to your big life questions.
I feel like everyone's listening in on a little counseling session we've just had.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm like at home therapy.
Right. I'm happy. Like, it's great to just be honest and real. Like, it's what life's about, right? Like, I never want to be in that place where I can't be real with people.
Yeah, but I think that's one of your strengths, is that it is kind of honest and open. Even it shows through your work, and I know that a lot of photographers are also, you know, creating beautiful images is one thing, but the whole support system behind it and the fears and challenges of, like, what goes in your head, on in your head, is, like, so interesting. So thank you for sharing all that stuff.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone at Way Up North.
Yeah.
It's going to be here in no time.
It's going to go so quickly. So have a great winter until then.
Thank you.
Enjoy it as much as you can. And we'll see you in October.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jeannie.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.